Chapter 2. A Broken Gladiator. Cargos. Somewhere in the dust, a gladiator hunted in the weakling light of a scarlet dawn. He staggered as much as walked, stumbled as much as he ran, any sense of grace he once possessed now a shredded memory. His motions were those of an infected beast, his mind aflame with urges that devoured reason. His crested helmet turned this way and that in animal kinetic spurts. He moved as if rabid. The enemy had broken and run, minutes ago, hours ago, days ago. He couldn't see them now, nor was he sure in which direction they'd fled. His armor joints snarled as he jerked his head at shadows in the ash, at sounds muffled to unreality. A chain axe idled in his gauntleted fist. It wasn't his axe, and he couldn't recall where he'd found it. Sometimes the weapon's teeth whirred, chewing dirty air. The blood that caked the axe's fangs had dried to gritty paste. The gladiator had a name, though in that moment he barely knew it. He also had an honoured vital role within the ranks of his legion, which was something else the pressure in his skull had leached away. The pain engine implanted against his brain was biting deep, a clicking parasite making a meal of his central nervous system. He salivated as he stared into the dust. In these moments, which were becoming ever more frequent, he was less a reasoning being and more a vessel brimming with notions of immediate instinct. Tick-tock. Tick-tock. The butcher's nails sang, sending needle-prick electrical signals into the meat of his mind. This is pain, it promised him, and you will feel it until I allow you pleasure. And so, shark-like, he pressed on. To stand still was to feel the implant's razor kisses deep in his skull, where he couldn't scratch. Things were changing. Had changed. With the pain engine remapping his mind, his chemical cognition was shattered. The adrenal violence that once brought ecstasy now brought a thin relief. Treasured, yes, but hardly the same thing. Before, the gladiator had chased a feeling of exaltation. Now he pursued tantalizing caresses of relief. They were never enough to become pleasure, never even close. But at least they came with a cessation of pain. His armor was a scavenged panoply beneath the clinging layer of ash. For years he'd worn the white ceramite of the 12th Legion's crusading heraldry, and the mongrel suit he was sealed inside was formed from only half its original components. He couldn't recall repainting his warplate, nor granting his serfs permission to paint it for him. Yet there it was, revealed in the patches where the dust briefly brushed away. Arterial red, instead of the familiar filthy white. Yes. Things were changing. This didn't trouble him. Perhaps it would have, had he given it true weight of thought. But in the rare moments he turned his mind in that direction, the nails would gnaw hard enough to trigger muscle tremors. They promised him peace only if he ran, roared, killed, maimed, burned. So he did those things when he could, and grew drunk with pain when he couldn't. At one dimly remembered point in time, he tried breaking his skull open against a wall, rhythmically crashing his forehead against the broken marble in a bid to drain the vileness from his head. It had worked, until it hadn't. Then the pain came back twice as bitter. Punishment for his self-inflicted wounds, judgment for attempted suicide. The gladiator moved on. It soothed the nails when he moved forward. He wasn't alone in the ashen wasteland. His brothers, and the things that pretended to be his brothers, made a loose pack around him. Together, but apart, they moved through the gloom. Some of them were made of fire. Some of them were made of blood in the shape of monsters. Some of them were his lifelong brethren, and some of them just wore his kinsman's flesh. Apothecary! He heard the word as he ascended a scree of infected rubble. The sound of it was familiar, even if the meaning wasn't. Poisoned rock slid beneath the weight of his boots. The wall had died to artillery fire, recently enough that it still smoked, and the gladiator hauled his way up the broken slope. The nails sensed his resolve, and could have been merciful, but they spiked again anyway. An animal grunt broke from his lips, unintentional and helplessly honest.
Apothecary?
That word again. It lingered in his mangled thoughts, as if it wanted to mean something. Apothecary. Apothecary. The next time he heard it, it was shouted out loud.
Apothecary!
It had the emphasis of a name, or a curse. The gladiator stopped in his ascent. He turned, gazing through the dust, seeking the silhouettes of his brothers and the stalking things that claimed to be his brothers. A cluster of them were at the bottom of the rubble slope. Their armour was no longer red. The ashy dust had restored his fellow world-eaters to their original filthy white heraldry.
Kargos!
One of them shouted up at him. Just like that, words had meaning once more. The nails bit, as if mocking his return to cognition, but their mandibles were dull against the trickling spread of identity. The gladiator. Kargos, he thought. I am Kargos. Tried to vox down to them, but the vox web was useless these days. He shouted back through his helm's voice grill, the words amplified and raw.
Who calls?
The answer wasn't an answer at all. It was a demand.
Medic!
Kargos descended, half skidding down the rockcrete rubble. The cluster of silhouettes resolved into shapes, then became the figures of his brothers. His actual brothers, not the things that professed brotherhood. 29 of his kindred were down, their bodies dragged by the survivors sane enough to resist the Song of the Nails. He looked over their broken remains lying in loose rows, already shrouded with grey-white dust. Bolt impacts and chainblade tears marked their armour. The ceramite rent open to reveal the destroyed meat inside. Kargos turned his gaze to the survivors, the world-eaters still standing. Others stalked past them in the dust, climbing the rubble slope, seeking prey at the behest of the pain engines biting into their brains. Even those with enough self-control to deal with the Legion's dead were tormented by violent ticks and twitches. This funeral service, as blunt and careless as any 12th Legion ritual, took a supreme measure of focus for those able to perform it.
What are you waiting for?
One of them grunted. Kargos couldn't make out the warrior's identity with the dust coating his warplate.
Harvest them!
The warrior ordered. Kargos looked down at his own armour, at his empty belt and bandolier. When exactly had he lost the tools of his trade? The metal vials of stimulant serums and combat narcotics were gone. His Narthesium was a broken ruin, a bolt-hit husk of missing instruments. Its scanner display was cracked and black, no longer connected to his armour's power supply. Even the keypad on his vambrace was worthless, showing lost keys like a desperate smile with missing teeth. No matter. He didn't need the specialised instruments to harvest. He could use his knife. The work would be messier, riskier for the removed organs, but he'd done it before. All it took was care and haste, so the ashy air wouldn't contaminate the fleshy nodes as they were pulled free. He crouched by the first body and drew his knife. In human hands it would be something to go to war with. In Kargos's grip, it was a chipped and tarnished machete.
Who was this?
He asked his brothers. They didn't answer. Kargos sensed them shuffling in the dust, struggling to remain with the dead rather than move on in search of more prey. They probably didn't know who'd died either. Squads were scattered, the vox was down, and the dust was a great equaliser on that score, turning them all into ghosts of themselves. Who was who hardly mattered now. Kargos reached for the containment cells maglocked to his belt. They were reinforced, internally cooled ceramite cylinders, marked with Nagrakali runes. He carried dozens of them, each one a capsule for the progenoids of a fallen Legion brother. With their gene seed harvested, the slain would live on in the creation of their replacement warriors. Over the months of the war, he'd harvested the progenoids from the throats and chests of many of his kindred. Except his fingers brushed against naked ceramite plating. He didn't carry dozens of them. He carried three, and the three that remained were punctured and empty. A chill ran through him, severe enough to cool even the sting of the nails in the back of his head. So many had already died unharvested over the course of the war. How many had he harvested, only to lose their genetic legacy in the fitful nothingness between bouts of clarity? He could die for this. In better, saner times, his legion had executed apothecaries for failure of this magnitude. They still might. Cargos felt the eyes of his brethren upon him. He knew their weapons were still in their hands.
"I can't," he confessed to them. "I can't do it."
They still said nothing, and Cargos felt the weight of their wordless judgment. He rose to his feet for sentencing. Gladiators always faced fate with courage. Only cowards died on their knees. But there was no one there. The other world eaters were gone, swallowed by the dust, if they'd ever been there at all. He looked down. The bodies were gone too. He stood alone in the dust. Utterly alone. Alone, that is, but for a sudden pinch along his spinal nerves. The nails bit, offering up a motivating pulse of pain, promising more if he remained still. Cargos turned, staggering, stumbling, no longer really Cargos at all. Just the gladiator again. Time passed strangely in the ash. At some point in Cargos's staggering journey, shapes resolved around him. A few became many, and many became more than enough. He knew some were his legion brothers and some were not, and he could tell the difference by those that could see where they were going. He and his brothers were blind, but the things that pretended to be his brothers and sisters could see well enough to hunt. These bloodletting creatures hunted ahead of the horde. The Emperor's silent scream sapped their strength, but they saw flares of life in the choking dust, and they drew the War Master's forces with them. Making their way towards the Sanctum Imperialis, where the last organized defenders gathered at the final fortress. It was a tide. Hundreds of thousands of warriors and soldiers and demonic entities merging into a wave of god-soaked intent. Rank meant little now among the mortal castes of this horde. Military cohesion had almost broken down into myth. They staggered and stumbled, and some even ran. Warriors from every one of the War Master's legions, a seething host of abused minds and diseased souls. Some exulted in their shackles of divine slavery, others falsely believed themselves free. It made no difference. A slave was still a slave, even if he crowned himself a king. Though blunted by the nail's pain, Cargos sensed the shifting air. The veil between worlds was so very thin now. Neverborn clawed their way into reality with mere wisps of thought. A single drop of blood on the broken earth spawned horrors. The Emperor was weakening. Imagine such a thing. The Neverborn hissed it. Angron roared it. Horus promised it. Soon the time would come to drag down the walls of the final fortress. Something pierced the blood-stained cloud of Cargos's thoughts. His name again. Someone nearby was saying his name. They'd been saying it for some time. It was Inzar. Inzar of the 17th, wearing gritter-braided warplate and with his weapons chained to his armour as a symbol of his time with the 12th. The parchments still adhering to Inzar's armour were scored and faded, reduced to ragged strips. He gripped Cargos's shoulder guard, preventing him from moving on with the horde.
"I thought it was you, brother."
Even all these years later, Inzar's voice was a low and familiar purr through his helmet's vocaliser. Somehow it cut through the wind.
"How fine it is to see you, so close to our triumph."
Cargos wasn't sure what to say. Nothing about any of this felt like triumph, so he said nothing. Inzar's touch remained on the World Eater's shoulder, a guiding hand.
"Come with me, Cargos. You have lost your way. I will help you."
Cargos stared, mute, through eyes that throbbed with their own pulse. It took him 3 tries to speak, and he only managed 3 words.
Are you real?
Inzar grunted at that, a sound that might have been a laugh.
Come with me, my friend.
No.
Kargos licked his cracking lips and tasted blood.
Answer me. Are you real?
There was no laughter that time, just a nod, a gesture of understanding.
I am real.
Kargos hesitated for a few more seconds. The Neverborn had lied to him before, then followed. A council was convened in the wasteland, formed around a gathering of officers and attendants still in possession of their senses. The shadows of tanks rumbled at the gathering's edges. Warriors of every legion stood in loose packs, as often associating by newfound allegiances over their paternal bloodlines. Kargos was one of them. He stayed at Inzar's side out of exhausted familiarity, watching, through aching eyes, the first signs of order from disorder that he'd seen in what felt like forever. Questions were asked in vicious murmurs and answered in the same tone. Establishing a firm hierarchy was impossible without the Vox, and without knowing what regiments were where, what Titan Legios had managed to haul themselves up and through the wreckage of the Ultimate Wall, what Astartes forces had assembled in the fallen districts of the Inner Palace. But it was something. Waves were forming in the tide, part of the natural rhythm of the Horde. Gatherings of might, just like this one. Warbands massing for the final assault. The names of first captains were spoken, and their absences marked. Ahriman, Typhon, Abaddon. Embattled elsewhere, or already dead, none could say. And what of Rogal Dorn, the Emperor's Praetorian? What of Jagatai Khan and the Angel of Blood? Were they cowering within the Sanctum Imperialis, waiting for the last battle? Or were they trapped elsewhere in the war-torn districts of the Inner Palace, besieged in their bastions and unable to break out? The Khan, it was said, had died of his tainted wounds at the Lionsgate spaceport days ago. The Praetorian, with the palace in ashes, his genius expended and his plans in ruins, was said to be hiding behind the walls of Bab Bastion and readying his final scheme to escape terror. That left only the Angel free and the depleted remnants of the 3 legions he commanded. Kargos's exhaustion thinned out as the nails blessedly stopped biting so deep. The voices of those speaking soothed the pain engine in his skull, as if their plans were a prayer. The war was won. The defenders were broken. The Emperor's shield was reduced to a sliver of its invisible power, and Neverborn ran amok through the wasted districts of the Inner Palace. What, then, came next? Magnus would break the Emperor's will, and with it the psychic shield. Angron, in his fury, would find and butcher the Angel of Blood, then march upon the Sanctum Imperialis. Horus himself was soon to make planetfall. They would tear down the Eternity Gate and burn the Sanctum Imperialis to the ground. They had the numbers. The defenders did not. So let it be spoken. So let it be done. Terror would soon be theirs.